Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Conning has recently published its quarterly property casualty forecast and analysis by line of insurance. The report offers an industry forecast and commentary for the 10 key lines of business and the property casualty industry as a whole. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Alan Dobbins, Director of Insurance at Conning and one of the authors of the report. Alan, so glad you could join us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
So, Alan, what is Conning's outlook for the property casualty insurance sector for the next few years?
Well, premium growth at this point is a little lighter than forecast at the beginning of the year. But the outlook is still for strong but sort of decelerating premium growth in for this year and the next two. We have 6.7% growth for 2025, and then close to 5% for both 26 and 27, which is still healthy growth from an historical perspective, but not the strong rate-driven growth that we saw in the preceding 4 years. Rate increases are slowing in a number of non-property lines, particularly in personal auto, which is going to lead to, again, that slower premium growth than we'd seen in those earlier years. This year, 2025, got off to a very difficult start with the January fires in Los Angeles, and total catastrophe losses were already above average for the year, just at the halfway point. Loss estimates for that first half were about $64 billion. But we're still looking at an underwriting profit for the year with a forecast combined ratio of 96%, and investment income is expected to continue as a sort of, you know, critical tailwind. Interest rates are expected to decline gradually, but remain supportive for insurer investment income contribution. Net investment income is projected to be up about 6% for the year.
What are the most important factors affecting your outlook in 2025 and into 2026?
Well, absent any other sort of big exogenous event, the big factors that that we're looking at are sort of the usual suspects. We've got, you know, catastrophes, as noted up front there. The pricing environment is always, you know, very important, a key driver. Economic growth is something as pricing begins to ease, economic growth becomes, and exposure growth become kind of the key driver of premium growth. And then inflation, which is touching and impacting the market in a number of different ways. And then obviously investment activities, looking at net investment income and capital gains.
The report notes that catastrophes are no longer episodic anomalies, but a consistent driver of PC performance. How is that influencing how insurers underwrite, price, and allocate capital across lines?
Yeah, we've had a, you know, certainly a string of very bad catastrophe years, what you'd call above average, and you know, each year we have those, the average begins to increase. But you know, as I noted up front, we've the Palisades and the Eaton fires in January incurred about $34 billion in losses for the first part of the year. That's I think a record first quarter. Certainly one of the worst first quarters on record. With the other cats that occurred during those months, the first quarter was about $47 billion in losses, which would be a slightly above average catastrophe year. And that was just the first, you know, the first 3 months. Second quarter wasn't as bad, but still still above average for a second quarter, producing about $17 billion. So that's $64 billion through the first half, which is a, you know, would be a bad year if were it a full year, but that's just the first half. Now, fortunately, Q3 was light, and you know, while we continue to project an average Q4, we still have, again, have an underwriting profit for the year. But I think your question was, how is that impacting underwriting? And we're seeing a lot of shifts. We've talked in the past about, you know, the obvious one is California, where there's been capacity pulled back and more risks going into the you know, the FAIR plan there and migrate into the surplus lines market there for property. So it's the and it's not just California. We're seeing certainly, you know, the Midwest.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
It's having, not similar because the risks are different, but an equally troubling experience level with cats, which is causing insurers to, again, sort of rethink their exposure in certain areas. And for the industry as a whole, begin to rethink how they're going to manage this this cat exposure.
You point out that 2025 is expected to be the eighth year in nine with above normal catastrophe losses. Given that pattern, are traditional reinsurance and diversification strategies still effective, or does the industry need to rethink its entire approach to catastrophe risk?
I think there is a rethinking going on that. If you look, you know, first at California as a good test case, we're seeing the market responding in the way that, you know, typically does. That some traditional insurers have scaled back the capacity that they want to allocate to that market, and in its place, E&S insurers are picking up some of that with, you know, their enhanced flexibility around forms and around rates. So that's part of the solution, but I think, you know, the market needs to push for a more holistic solution that cuts across all the stakeholders, be it the insurers, policyholders, governments and municipalities, reinsurers, all of which, you know, need to be part of a more long-lasting solution. That the insurance industry is the, you know, the place where risk is managed and allocated. So it can't just pull back and avoid risk. So I think it's being sort of forced on the industry at this point to take a step back and see if there's a, again, a more holistic solution that can be developed.
The report highlights persistent loss cost inflation outpacing general inflation. How sustainable is underwriting profitability if these pressures continue? And where do you see opportunities for carriers to regain margin?
Yeah, I think we're seeing some stabilization in inflation, right? It's still stubbornly above that 2% target. Our outlook for 2025 was for all items inflation CPI to grow at about 2.7%. And that's been about the average through the first 9 months of the year. And we're seeing, you know, reasonable results, setting aside catastrophes, with a little more control over inflation. The core CPI is forecast to be down from 3.4% last year. I think it read 3.0% in September. So those are favorable trends directionally, but again, it's still elevated, and you know, continued elevated inflation is going to continue to affect input costs, replacement costs in a number of lines. We're certainly seeing that in the auto lines. But again, that personal auto has kind of recovered a bit into a more profitable mode than it was when inflation was really driving severity. That again, in auto, you know, for the first part of the last decade plus, medical inflation was running sort of consistently ahead of overall inflation. Then medical care inflation was somewhat tamed, and overall inflation began to take off, hitting a peak of 9% in the summer of 2022, if I recall. And the cost of used cars and trucks and sort of exploded. That's replacement vehicles from a claims perspective. That hit over 40% a year for a little while. And then when that returned to normal, you saw the cost of repairs take off. So auto's a pretty good indicator of the sensitivity of line of business results to inflation pressures. But again, as an indicator, auto results are pretty favorable of late as inflation has kind of come back slightly under control, I guess. And the same dynamic applies to property, right? Costs for property construction spiked during the pandemic, and they've been normalizing since, but remain elevated. Labor costs are elevated. Inputs to construction have started to climb a little as well.
With investment income remaining a key tailwind, how are insurers balancing the benefits of higher yields against the risks of rate volatility and potential credit exposure in their portfolios?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think the fixed income backdrop has shifted in ways during the course of the year that reflect, you know, monetary policy expectations and credit market sentiment. Treasury yields have eased, you know, sort of most noticeably at the short end of the curve, as maybe softer economic data and Fed rate cuts have emerged to push, you know, certainly the 2-year and maybe the 5-year a little lower. But we are seeing, again, rates, at a level that allows for new money rates to exceed what's rolling off the portfolio, to exceed book yields for our insured portfolio. So, you know, interest rates are, well, projected to decline over the forecast period. New money rates are still going to be higher than current portfolio yields and provide that that boost, that tailwind for investment income in each year of the forecast. Although, again, with that impact declining over time.
Alan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, John.
That was Alan Dobbins, Director of Insurance at Conning, and I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.